We always pride ourselves as countries that innovator, creative, nation of entrepreneurs, but yet we do not teach it or encourage it. Your resume is not going to get you a job. You are going to get yourself a job.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 83. Welcome back, techie community, and thank you so much for joining me here for episode 83. Today, I have the honor of welcoming Stephen Worley, a serial solopreneur for the past 20 years. Stephen is the founder of LifeSkillsThatMatter.com. He is a solopreneur business coach on a mission to help you create work that works for you in alignment with your values, your needs, and your abilities. Stephen believes that work is fundamentally changing as we know it, and we're all going to have to manage ourselves, whether you work for someone else or for yourself. And as we all know, COVID has rapidly sped up this process. Stephen is hanging out with us today to share the story of what inspired him to become an entrepreneur and to help others do the same. Stephen, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I was already enjoying our conversation before we started recording, so I cannot wait to share some, hopefully some unconventional nuggets with your listeners.
I am super excited for this episode as well, and I know our listeners are going to get a ton of value out of this episode. So we'll start off by asking you, Stephen, to please share a story with our listeners of a time long before you started Life Skills That Matter, long before you decided you were going to work for yourself. What did you think life would look like?
I think it's not that dissimilar to what maybe you were taught, or maybe many of our listeners were taught, because at least in America, we were all kind of taught the same thing, and we were taught to work for somebody else, right? Think about it. I mean, Lori, did anybody ever tell you to, like, you should start a business when you were 16?
Never.
Right?
Not once. No.
It's so funny. We always pride ourselves as countries that innovator, creative, yes, nation of entrepreneurs, but yet we do not teach it or encourage it, right? Because the powerful does not like that.
Nope.
Right? They don't want us all thinking of ourselves and doing our thing, right? That's going to change.
How dare we, Steve?
Right? How dare we? Well, we're coming, people. We're coming for you. Because there's enough to go around. You know, I'm of an abundant mind.
Yes.
Set. I love meeting people like you. We were bonding a little bit because I just moved from Dorchester in Boston. But I was taught to be an employee. You know, my parents were blue collar workers, had a very nice life growing up outside of New Haven, Connecticut. But I thought I was going to be a lawyer, you know, and that dream vanished very quickly as soon as I opened up the LSAT book senior year of college. I'm like, I don't think I want to do this. And I fell to the world of media, and I eventually got laid off on election day 2000. It's my 20th anniversary of working for myself.
Wow.
And I, even at that moment, you know, still kept looking for jobs. Sadly, I worked for 5 years in various capacities for myself, eventually did pretty well. And I still kept looking for a job, because that's how deeply ingrained it is in our brains. Like, in order to feel like, still, I talk to people who are starting their businesses and they're like, well, I know, a real job, real work. It's still defined as working for somebody else. And think about, like, what you're doing, what I've done, people that are listening to us want to do is, like, creating something from nothing, creating our own income, creating our own work, going out and getting our own clients. That's, I don't know how much more real you can get than that. So that's like the way back when, and it took me 5 years to accept that I was working for myself and that I was good at it. And then once I did understand that that's what I wanted to do, I really doubled down on it. And I said, this is what I'm doing. Why would I ever want to go back to, like, have to live up to somebody else's ideal way of working? I never want to do that again.
Right.
And so that was the way back machine of where I was and what I was taught and how I slowly got out of it. Now I'm just trying to help people accelerate that process. And unfortunately, the world that we're living in is accelerating that process for all of us now.
Nice. I have no idea what I was doing back on election day 2020.
Remember, that was the election where we couldn't pick a president. That's the one.
I'm well aware.
I'm sitting here. I could still see, I was sat right across. I was working for a .com owned by CBS at the time. We were the liaison team for the broadcast arm of this business. They were based in San Francisco. Yeah. And I remember her taking the phone call from the CEO, and it was 5 o'clock on a Friday. Or no, I'm sorry, Tuesday, because election day. And said, you know what? We all just got laid off.
Those moments definitely creep up.
But I really want people to know is to see it coming, you know, the day, and that's really my life's work now. You know, I've been working in this way. I often say, like, I'm from the future. I've been working the future for the future of work in the last 20 years to really teach people how to do this, because everything is changing in an instant. This pandemic has accelerated the process that I thought was going to take about a decade to unfold.
Yes.
And we, again, it's our brains, our the fear part of our brain that loves familiarity, even though rationally we could all see it coming. We don't always want to see it or admit it. But I do believe we're headed for an independent majority workforce. That means more of us are going to be working for ourselves in some capacity than working for somebody else, getting all of our income from just one job. That, you know, most of us believe like we're never going to like have one job for 30 years at the same company anymore. Most of us have realized that's gone by the wayside.
Right.
Many people realize that they're not going to necessarily have the exact same profession for their entire career.
Right.
And now we have to realize that you might not have a job for 5 years in a row or 10 years in a row. You know, you might be going through like longer term projects or shorter term projects. So I feel like it's my job to help get people a little bit more comfortable with that reality and realize that, yes, you were taught to be scared of that. But as somebody who's been living this for so long, it doesn't have to be scary. And we can help each other through this. Really.
I agree 100%. We as individuals have to have control over our income streams, not one, but multiple as individuals, and have that control, because when you allow someone else to control it, you never know what that end result is going to be. And much like you were saying, some of us aren't going to last in a position for 5 years, 10 years, and 30, 40 year opportunity to retire with a pension that a lot of our parents had the opportunity to do just doesn't exist anymore. So once you recognize this and realize that you were going to take these steps for yourself and move forward on your own, what did you do exactly? What do you feel were some of those first steps that you took?
So the first step I remember, I mean, there's the first steps that I took that I now would recommend, or maybe I wish I had done it a little bit more intentionally. But I was still looking for a job, and I decided to become more open to look for opportunities because I got laid off in November and like nothing was happening in New York. I was in the New York media world was like in a depression. No one was hiring. So I started applying for the first time to freelance gigs, which I'd never done before. Because again, it's taught that those are short term. They're scary. You have to worry about paying your taxes, you know, right. All that stuff. And in March, I got a call back from some healthcare communications firm in Greenwich, Connecticut, which was 2 hours from Hoboken, New Jersey, where I was living at the time. And I went for an interview. They took me on and I did a lot of things I'd never done before. Got paid more per day than any previous job I had held up to that point. But I didn't want to be in, you know, in Greenwich, Connecticut. That's not where I wanted to work. I wanted to be back in New York. But it started getting the wheels turning, be like, huh. And that's when I decided to go back to business school, which I would never recommend doing if you want to work for yourself. It's too expensive, takes too much time, and most of the information that you're taught is horribly out of date. That was kind of the first step, I would say, is and it's the most important skill that too few of us practice, but it's outreach. I had 5 different versions of my resume. I had hundreds of resumes out. I didn't just apply to jobs. I like directly contacted companies, whether they had a position or not. And I'm always telling people to do this. So that would be the thing. I think too many of us hide behind our resumes and we're like, I got to work on my resume. Got to get my resume together. We actually pay people to like review our resumes. When I think if you had a choice between spending an hour on your resume or an hour going out and meeting people or finding companies or opportunities that you feel aligned with, your time, your limited time, energy, and attention is much better spent doing that outreach. Screw your resume. Mm-hmm. Your resume is not going to get you a job. You are going to get yourself a job.
I wouldn't say throw it out the window. Then it's not what gets you.
But it's a red position. Flag too. Back to what we're talking about is like freedom here. And if you are constantly going for jobs where like, we won't even talk to you until you show us a resume, like sit with that for a moment. Like, is this the relationship you want to have with these people? Right? You want a human relationship, you know, like one of the last things they should ask you for is like, by the way, do you have a copy of your resume? Because I like your ideas. I like talking to you. I like your energy. Or sometimes also position yourself more like a consultant and see if there's a short-term opportunity just so you can get to know each other, because nobody ever really gets to know what it's like to work at a place, or nobody ever really, somebody hiring really doesn't get to know that person until you actually start working together. You could do all the interviews in the world, look at all the resumes in the world. But at the end of the day, you're really never going to know until you start working together.
I agree. I think that when it comes to having a resume and putting it out there, it's important for those who are looking to keep that if they feel security in it. But for those who are truly looking to move forward, focusing that time on the resume is not necessarily as productive as networking and getting out there. What do you feel was the most difficult part for you when you decided, okay, it's time to get out there and start meeting people and start moving forward with your ideas?
Yeah, I think it still goes back to the thing that I did. And I think this is where we all struggle, even if for those of us who find a comfort in it, it's the idea like you're constantly looking for work. It never ends, right? And I think that's where I think conventional work, people say, I like it. It's a steady paycheck, the built-in community. But I think what people really love about it, think about when you get a job, I'm talking to anybody listening to this, right? When you get a job, what's one of those first feelings you have? It's relief. You're like, whew, somebody chose me. Now I don't have to keep looking for work, right? And then you get this job, get your steady paycheck, the work comes to you and you're kind of like relieved. But conventional work is really not doing you a favor, because even if you really do want to continue to have jobs, those jobs are going to be more frequent and they're going to be more short-term. So you are, the market, capitalism is now forcing us all to look for work more frequently. So we need to build that muscle. And I always tell the people going through our 30-day accelerator, listen, you're going to have to reach out, but you get to choose how you want to do that. Some folks that have gone through our accelerator are very introverted, so they create a lot of content. They'd rather not talk to people, you know, directly on the phone, email, or go to conferences. So I'm like, all right, you have to go create a lot of content then for people to find you on social media through search engines. Yeah. Now, on the other end, there's folks like me who are like, you know, temporarily I'm not able to go to conferences. So I'm on podcasts now. And I love, you know, being able to listen and learn from people like Lori. And so you just have to kind of find your rhythm, and maybe even a good starting place is just look at your life from to date. Like, how have you met people? How have you built relationships? What methods do you like? I'm a big believer in making friends, not connections. Build a community, build support, not a network, because I think those terms, really, we put up walls. We all have baggage with those terms of making connections or networking. So don't use them anymore. Go make friends.
I love it. Yes, definitely. Go make friends. Stop networking. Go make friends.
And just to add one more thought, I often say friends as a term because it's about being attracted to people who have interests that you're aligned with or values, right? When you're in a networking mindset, you feel like everybody's a dollar sign. Like, how do I sell them? How do I convince them on my thing, right? How do I get them to like me, buy me? Like, nobody wants to be in that mindset. Nobody wants to feel like that either. And in the way that you seem to be reaching out to people on LinkedIn, I really like, because you're giving first and you're not looking for anything. You're really, truly building relationship. You're being known. And I don't know about you, Lori, but I receive endless requests to connect on LinkedIn, and too many of them are trying to sell me right at the first interaction. You don't know me. I'm a stranger. And it's just no, you know, and when they do try to pitch me, I immediately unconnect with them again, because I guess I'm just offended as a former sales trainer. Like, build a relationship, get to know me. I'm going to feel understood. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, I'd love to, but it's only if you generally are like into my values or you like my vibe. You really like, you would like to maybe learn from me. I like that, but I don't need a website. I'm not looking for a coach right now, and I'm not buying real estate, or, you know, so please.
I wish there were better filters on LinkedIn. That's all there is to it.
Because we're just saving each other's time. You know what I mean? More, that's a thing too. We're in America, more is always better, right? And it's not, you know what I mean? Like, for our email subscriber list, we regularly purge our list. Like, if people haven't interacted with us, we do it once a year. They haven't interacted with us in a certain specified period of time. We send them a note. If you want to stay on this, let us know. If not, we're taking you off.
Right.
Because we don't want to waste we don't want to clutter up their inbox. And so this is the same thing need to do in life, is you really want to be building your community of support, but you want to do it with people who are aligned with you, who really understand with you, who want to support you, who are looking out for you, not just having... Don't look at it just as a bunch of numbers.
Right, right. No, definitely. It's building the community support, like you said, that network of those who are capable of helping you along the way, but also that you can give back to. Is speaking of giving back and helping those around you, tell us a little bit about your practice, Stephen, life skills that matter.
So this grew out of my previous business. I was a sales trainer, as I alluded to. I was teaching local broadcasters and radio and television how to sell more digital advertising, eventually built an online business of other trainers. I had 35 trainers, 600 training videos. That was for the broadcast industry. But it isn't really exactly feeding my soul. Met a lot of great people, you know, and had a great experience building my first business, but it wasn't what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And I kept coming back to how I felt when I was originally laid off about work in the world, work in my life. And I really decided that I wanted to have a new type of training business to educate people as what I saw was the next big opportunity. And that work as it has been taught to you is forever changing. It is being automated. You're going to have to manage yourself even if you work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Our mass market is disintegrating to infinite niches. Just being yourself now is what is going to make you the most valuable. But the nature of work, all the assumptions that we've made is changing. But we're still trying to get work in the way that we've always been taught. And we're getting more stressed out. It's not working as well. It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. So that's where I decided I really want to get people more comfortable with this idea of working for themselves or starting to take charge of themselves more. We've outsourced so many of our decisions about work to our employers. And like it or not, our employers are shoving those decisions back at us. In this pandemic, many of us were forced to work from home, many for the first time. And that is going to, it's not going to be like what work is going to be like for all of us forever, but it's going to look a lot more like that. You know, I was just reading an article how the Time Life building in downtown, in Midtown Manhattan, could accommodate 8,000 workers, 8,000 office workers. Lori, do you know how many office workers are in that building right now as we're recording this in August 2020?
I have absolutely no idea.
500.
Wow.
So this is changing, right? And think about it, like how many of us had a boss who said, you can't work from home. It's not possible. It can never be done, right? And all of a sudden, well, that was a lie. Seems like we all figured it out, right? Maybe it was messy and everything was our first time, but it is now an option. And so that's what we really need to start moving toward is really starting to take ownership for ourselves. I always say conventional work has avoided the toughest question in life. And that is, what do you want to do with it? And a lot of times we're like, well, I got to pay the bills. I got to survive. So I just got to do this job. Well, guess what? Like, that's not even going to be enough anymore. People don't want to just hire people just because they need a job.
No, I 100% understand. COVID has accelerated the process of this change, which I too felt very much so that we were nowhere near seeing this point in time. I definitely estimated another decade at least out.
Yeah.
We were looking at, you know, society being what it is with everything being remote and digital and touchless and or contactless delivery and pickup and things of that sort. It's very interesting to see. It took some time to get here, and then COVID just accelerated the heck out of all of it. And speaking of accelerators, as you mentioned, you do have a fall accelerator that you've built out to help people with this issue. So tell us a little bit about the accelerator.
And before I forget, the fourth change is that we have now entered a permanent state of accelerated change. And what that means, think about the job that you had 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, maybe in the last 6 months, how fast it's changing. And because things are changing so quickly again, and through automation, a lot of companies aren't going to hire you to just teach you how to do a process over and over again. They're hiring you because they want problems to be solved. They're hiring for your creativity, your connections. And so these are the things that we need to be aware of. So I devised this 30-day accelerator. The goal is, I think when people enter a lot of business accelerators, they want to start a business for the first time. It's always focused on the mechanics of building a business. And this is very true in business schools as well. And what I'm seeing is if I'm going to get the next layer of people more comfortable with starting a business, they're capable. They just don't see that they're capable. So I'm going to help educate them about how they are capable. Because there is the core group of people who are like, had a healthcare crisis like you did, had economic crisis like me, or they have a natural tendency for like wanting to work for themselves. So now I'm talking to that next layer of people who is fully capable, of working for themselves. They have everything they need already. But I have to really focus on the mindset and doing some deprogramming and helping them realize how much their entire lives were programmed to say, like, this is what work is. And work as you know it today was not always like this. And it's not going to always be like this. Now, we have a really unique chance in economic history to finally make work that works for you. Because the work as you know it was designed for the needs of corporations. No individual human ever said, like, yeah, working 40 hours a week, that sounds about right. Going off and leaving my family every day, that sounds good. And so for some people that might be a preference, but the point is the goal of our accelerator is to help people really understand themselves, really assessing themselves as the first resource of their business and their most valuable resource, something we do not do or teach people to do, but you are a resource. You have personal resources of attention, of energy, of time that you need to learn how to harness more effectively that can then create money, create connections, acquire knowledge. And again, we don't think of ourselves as having these resources, but we need to. You are the common denominator in every single decision you're going to make for your business, and you cannot fire yourself. So you need to learn how to deal with yourself and manage yourself, right? And again, conventional work has prevented us from doing that. We always think it's somebody else, whether we want to believe that or not, right? We love conventional work because there's always somebody else to blame for why things aren't working out for us. But when you work for yourself, you're it now. And we do this in a live group coaching program because humans evolve to work together. And the number one thing I've learned, Lori, to accelerate the growth of your business is you got to hang with people doing what it is that you're doing, or at least they want to do what it is that you're doing. And it's more powerful than just me working with them one-on-one. So we do this in a live group coaching program, no more than 20 at a time. And it's for 30 days. And it's pretty intense. Anybody who's gone through this program will say, yeah, it's intense, because I really want to like boot out some of these old coding, this old programming to really give you the confidence and the clarity to say, yeah, I could do this. Now I know why I need to do this and how I want to do it. And so I say to people, we kind of take over your life for 30 days, even if you have a full-time job. And it's a mix of doing smaller mastermind groups. We have live trainings. We have expert speakers, an accountant, a lawyer that comes in to help you out, understanding those aspects of your business. And we want people to be able to write a year-long strategic plan upon leaving the accelerator, so you understand what the goals, the actions, the habits you need to take to sustain the growth of your business to get it really going. And the number one challenge people have, again, it's outreach. Right? And that's the thing. It all comes back. In order to get people more comfortable with outreach, it leads back to that self-management piece. What is it about me? Or what is some story I'm telling myself that is preventing me from doing outreach, right? And a mix, and what prevents people, it's a mix of how do I do it in a way that's enjoyable to me, that I want to be motivated to do this on a regular basis? And then the other piece of it is that rejection piece. On some level, we all have some limiting belief in ourselves. Like when you reach out to somebody, like you did with me, you're putting yourself out there. You might get rejected. It's just how it is. But we have to learn how to take this less personally. That, let me tell you one thing. Anytime somebody takes an action, it's because of what they need. It has nothing to do with you.
100%. And I'll share a funny story. And this story, I actually don't think my audience has ever even heard. When I started this podcast way back when, I was, of course, reaching out to just random entrepreneurs who I felt could provide value to the audience. And most people replied with a yes. It was literally 99% yes. Until I reached one guest, and I'm not going to share the name. They never became a guest because for the 20-minute episode, they wanted $36,000.
What? I think that's so obnoxious when people do that. It's ridiculous. I mean, I can understand you have limited attention to time. Just say like, no.
It was the most outrageous email reply I have received to date. And this was probably 2 months in to deciding to actually start the show. And for my listeners, if you want to learn who that person is, You're going to have to DM me on one of the multiple different platforms that we are promoted on. Stephen, after the recording, I will gladly share a little bit more about that story. But yes, 100%, I could have looked at that response as a deterrent and something that would have stopped me from attempting to get this show up and running. I was horrible at podcasting when I first started.
We
and
all were.
No such thing as a podcast pro. We're all starting from scratch. And that wasn't even the start of my business. That was just, you know, the start of a different marketing tool and could have easily been derailed if I allowed for that one reply to change my thought process or make me feel as though it was something that I would run into on a regular basis. But instead, you persevere and just move forward, you will find guests. So, Stephen, do you have a specific tool that you feel might help the audience?
Am I able to share one of my own tools?
Of course you can.
I think a good starting point, because I think when people want to start working for themselves, obviously money is going to come into the equation. It just does. So I developed a lifestyle calculator because back to like what you were saying, how this person, you know, said, hey, yeah, sure. I'll be on your show if you pay me this ungodly amount of money. Fine. You know, that's where they are. They know what they need and where they're at. I tend to be a little bit more heart-centered and like to conduct my business in different ways. I think one of the greatest challenges for all of us is deciding what's enough. Right. In America, again, we're taught enough is never enough. Right. Because that's what keeps our little capitalist economy humming along here. We always need to be buying more than we really need. So this, the purpose of this lifestyle calculator primarily is to understand how much you need to make every single year to live the life that you want to live. Like really calculate it. Because a lot of times we're all caught up in these status symbols of how much other people are making. So I want to make six figures. I want to make 250 a year, whatever. But what happens if you ran through this calculator and you're like, oh, huh, I only need to make $67,000 a year. How about that? What's wrong with that? Right. And you get to do everything you want to do. In my last business, I saw the magic of really understanding what I'm good at, outsourcing, using automation. And I was able to make a lot more money than I would ever need working 20 hours a week. And I think that's another thing in America, our self-worth is so tied up in this idea of how hard we work, how much we work, right? Yeah. That we're supposed to like admire people working 80 plus hour weeks. I think they have no priorities. I think it's ridiculous. And it's humans, it's unsustainable. A lot of those people do end up getting illness. Some people even die from overwork. Yeah. It is a thing. So this calculator is about understanding how much you really need to make because, and if you're curious already, you can download a free copy at lifeskillsthatmatter.com/calculator, but it's working backwards. Especially if you want to start your own business, then you're like, all right, how much do I need to make every single month? What is the average price of my core product or service? That helps you understand, well, how many new clients do I need every single month to sustain this business? And then how am I going to find them? And that also helps people, Lori, understand like, wow, I don't need as many clients as I thought I did to build this business. Mm-hmm. Or if a lot of times I also deal with a lot of heart-centered folks and they're like, I could never ask for $175 an hour for what it is I do. And I'm like, all right, go put your $35 an hour thing in there and like see how many hours you have to work. Because the cool thing about this calculator also shows you how much you have to work in terms of time.
Right.
And then they're like, oh my gosh, I would have to work like 90 hours a week. And I'm like, yeah, do you want to do that? And then it gives them the confidence to understand like, oh, now I'm seeing why I need to charge more. And also we help them understand the value perception from their client's perspective of how making that investment is going to save them time or money. And they actually might think, while you think it's a lot of money, they actually might think it's a good deal.
100% love that. I think it's an excellent idea. Everyone needs to pop over and check out the lifestyle calculator. I'll be sure to share a link to that from the show notes page and a link to your homepage as well. If you had the ability, Stephen, to just kind of rewind the clock though, go back 30, 40 years and just kind of tell yourself one thing. What do you think that would be?
Be yourself. And I know like, well, people might be like, Stephen, that seems so trite that you just say that. It is such a fundamental truth. And why I say that is being yourself takes less energy than trying to be somebody that you're not. And we all do this. Think about it. We all do it. I know you do listening to this right now. You know you have to be a little bit different when you go off to work every day than the person that you get to hang out with your friend or your family on the weekends, right? This is me all the time, the person that you're getting on this podcast. And because I realized it takes less energy to just be me, but I also, my power of attraction is much more amplified and much stronger the more I'm just myself, because then I stand out more. I'm not trying to conform and be like everybody else, and then I get diluted, right? So truly, and as I alluded to, one of the changes that I've identified was changing work as you know it. Our mass market is disintegrating into infinite niches. From a marketing perspective, being unique and standing out is more valuable. Like I tell people, what makes you weird now makes you valuable. So the more you can just be yourself, or Lori and I, we're both coaches, but we coach different types of people. We have different approaches. So it's not about, I'm doing something that everybody else is doing. It's about your approach. You're bringing your unique perspective and experience to that. And I always remind people, like Lori, this is our only shot at her right now, right? There was never her before she was born. And unfortunately, one day she's going to exit this earth. So this is our shot at experiencing her unique view of the world, her skills, her talents, her energy vibe. That is how unique she is. And that's how unique you are. So it doesn't pay to conform anymore. You're just going to get burned out, overwhelmed, and commoditized. Be yourself. You know what it is? We need to be human again. We're at the cusp of artificial intelligence and automation and robots doing so much of the work that, honestly, let's face it, it makes us miserable. It's work that we don't want to do anyway. But we're at the time that we're at the cusp of robots taking over, we're asked right now, all of us, whether you like it or not, whatever job you're, we're being asked to work like a robot and we don't like it. So let's be human again.
I think that's probably something that we all need to just kind of focus on is, yes, technology is excellent. Yes, technology can help you make a lot of changes. However, at the same time, we all still need to be human, because I'm not ready for the robot wars. I'm really not. My husband might be, but I am not.
I'm going to pay for the humans. And by the way, I didn't share this link. If anybody's interested in exploring our fall 2020 accelerator, it starts October 22nd, and you can learn more at lifeskillsthatmatter.com/accelerator.
Awesome. And I will definitely, again, make sure that we have a link to your homepage and a link directly to the accelerator program. That is a 30-day accelerator. You have a 20-student maximum there. And now, just out of curiosity, because I'm sure we may have questions regarding this, is this still going to be a live coaching scenario? Are these live group coaching, or are you doing this all virtual?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's always been virtual, but I consider that live in real time.
Okay, excellent. I just wanted to clarify.
And also, when you think about that, a lot of times, I've gone to conferences, or we have courses that we do on our own. Again, why we do that live group coaching is because we're in each other people's lives. You know what I mean? We start knowing each other's kids and pets and who eats what and that sort of thing, because we keep seeing each other, right? Like, we are in it together. And that is a really powerful way to get that momentum going. That's when people really, that's my goal. I want people coming out of that being like, I have clarity now.
Yes.
I have the confidence to do this. I'm committed to finally doing this. Because most of the people we work with, I ask, on average, they think about working for themselves for about 2 years. And I'd say either stop thinking about it, or let's finally do something about it.
Definitely. No, you either have to begin taking baby steps forward, or become complacent, I guess.
Well, it's just it's about being honest with yourself. I mean, that's a thing you gotta be doing, back to be you, but part of being you is just to be honest with yourself, to be like, oh yeah, I do this, or I'm like that. And it's accepting and working within those parameters. I'm forgetful when it comes to car keys and umbrellas and stuff like that. I've accepted that long ago. So I allow myself to buy 3 umbrellas every single year, 3 water bottles a year, because they're going to get lost and I'm not going to sweat it anymore. Can I just share one thing that horrified me recently that I just read about? If you had to say a demographic of people who are the group of people who are becoming entrepreneurs faster than any other group in the United States, Who do you know who it is?
No, I don't.
African-American women.
So that's,
do you know,
that's not surprising.
Do you know who receives the least amount of investment money to start a business?
Oh, I'm positive it's African-American women.
It's ridiculous. Like, I think women overall get like 2% of VC funding, and then African-American women get like a fraction of that. Like, I'm embarrassed to even like say that. Like, it's ridiculous. So I just want to say thank you for all that you're doing, because I can't imagine how many different people you have inspired to do this. And I think I get that vibe from you too. I think we both believe, or you could tell me, I'm going to put words in your mouth, but I want us to like create work for each other. Why are we creating work for corporations? I don't get it.
The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs, you know, come up with an idea for a business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of at all, hoping to, you know, help solve some sort of operational change that someone might not be thinking could be something someone could possibly change. So I'm curious, if you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why?
I think I'm not copping out, but I do think I'm making the magic come true for myself, because I love creating content and I love meeting people. And I have often said, like, that's what I want in my business. I just want to get up every day and I'm like, I'm creating content and I'm meeting people, and the rest of it is automated or being done by somebody else. And I'm very fortunate to have a business partner who also happens to be my sister. So she's the systems part of all of this. So, you know, what's been hard is, and a lot of times people want to have that magic wand, is I would recommend this to you, is to say, like, what is it you really want? And you might not be able to do it right away, but you're setting an intention. So that way you will gradually look for opportunities to keep moving you toward that. So you truly can wave your own magic wand upon yourself. And I've been at this business for 5 years. It's still not exactly where I want it to be. But every time I look back, you know, from 5 years ago, from 2 years ago, from last year, from 6 months, it's always moving in the right direction. It's always getting better. And I would say I am really close to achieving my dream of just waking up every day and creating content, whether it's a blog post or a training or a podcast, and just getting to meet awesome, amazing people like you. So that's what I'm kind of, that's my magic wish of just being myself, doing what I want to do, getting paid for it.
Stephen, I have absolutely enjoyed having you as a guest today. I too enjoy creating content and meeting awesome people like yourself. It is the highlight of my week every week, you know, as I go through and block out the rest of my time throughout the week for random other things. I too am dreaming of that day when that is all that I do, just create content and meet absolutely awesome people. So thank you for sharing your journey with us and for being here today. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
If you like podcasts like Lori's, you can find Life Skills That Matter on your favorite podcast app. And if you are thinking about working for yourself, you can learn the very first 5 actions to take at lifeskillsthatmatter.com/get-started.
Awesome. LifeSkillsThatMatter.com/get-started. We will be sure to put a link to that page on our show notes as well. Stephen, thank you again for sharing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for being you, giggles.
Stephen, thank you again for joining the community and sharing your story, tools, tips, and wisdom. Techie community, thank you for checking out episode 83. If you are an entrepreneur or thinking of becoming an entrepreneur, your first step should be to check out Stephen's lifestyle calculator and figure out what it is you really need to live the lifestyle that makes you happy. Next, sign up for Stephen's 30-day accelerator starting next month. You can find the details for the accelerator and the lifestyle calculator on Stephen's website at lifeskillsthatmatter.com. Or you can always reach him through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Stephen Worley. Thank you again for joining us. And until our next episode, when we continue to share the journey, find the pain and create solutions. Enjoy the week.